This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes, inviting you to take a few moments out of what I'm sure for you is a very busy day and study with us for just about 5 minutes from the Bible, the sacred will of God. The Bible, as you know, is the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, able to furnish man completely unto every good work. Every basic question which the human mind can raise, that is, every question of any importance that man can raise, the Bible answers correctly. And of course, all of us raise the question about pain and suffering. Now we have studied 6 questions that are raised in the book of Job, the book that we have been studying, the living message of the book of Job in the Old Testament. One of the greatest books of the Bible, perfect in its treatment of the problem of suffering, though of course we must depend upon the New Testament to understand the final analysis, the role of Jesus Christ in this whole matter. We look now at the epilogue in this book, that is, the closing portion of it. We've looked at the prologue, Job before the suffering. We've looked at the main body of the book, Job during the suffering. And now we look at the epilogue, Job after the suffering. This is found in chapter 42, verses 7 to 17. First of all, let us note the fact that God rebukes these 3 men who claim to be his friends, who have come to him seemingly to comfort him, but who actually rather severely stricture him. So God rebukes them. After having spoken to Job and having received Job's statement of repentance, God spoke to Eliphaz and to the 2 other friends of Job. And God explained that his wrath was kindled because, unlike Job, who had spoken the truth about God, they had not spoken the truth about God. No doubt in regard to their assertion that God does not allow the righteous to suffer during earthly life. It is, as a matter of fact, one of the basic arguments of atheists who hold that if there were the God of the Bible, then there would be no human suffering whatever. But that simply is false, as we shall see. In making these statements about Job as having told the truth about God, and his 3 friends as having not told the truth about him, God does not mean that everything Job said about God was true, or that everything the 3 friends said was false. It must be the case that God is referring to the basic difference between them, Job on the one side and the 3 so-called friends on the other. Job held that the righteous may suffer and God still be just, and the other 3 holding that if the righteous suffered during earthly life, then God would not be just. The 3 argued that the mere fact that Job was suffering proved that Job was a wicked man, but Job told the truth when he asserted that he was a righteous man. God himself had made this clear in the opening conversation with Satan, when he had said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in all the earth." God himself had said that Job was a great and good man. God had instructed the 3 friends to have Job intercede with God in their behalf. They did so. And when Job had made the intercession, God had regard for Job. That is, he accepted Job's prayer in their behalf. Now for the final point for today, as our time comes near to an end, we note God's blessing of Job after the suffering. We've seen Job before the suffering, during and after, and now we see after having lost everything, God now restores his blessing. God restored his blessings twofold, his material blessings, his family, his wife and children and friends. And he died an old man after a full life. Chapter 42, verse 17. But our time is gone for today. I'm glad that you've been with us as we've studied from this great book of Job in the Old Testament on the amazing problem of pain and suffering in human life while we live on this earth. I'm glad you've been with us. I hope you'll be back tomorrow. Until then, may the good Lord bless and keep you, is my sincere prayer.